When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn on the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. First episode came out today. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, came on. Salary cap expert. We broke down the Quinnen Williams extension, Dalvin Cook, all these different salary cap related stuff. Now a little bit more of a fun episode. Royals star first baseman, Jets diehard fan, Vinny Pasquantino. Vinny, how are we doing today, man?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me on. Good. Nothing like talking about the New York Jets.
Yeah, of course, right? Who doesn't love talking about a team that hasn't made the playoffs in a long time?
That's right.
We're still here. First off, I know we're talking about a little bit off air. Obviously, had a strong start to the season, you know, individually, and then, you know, obviously getting banged up. How's the shoulder feeling? How frustrating is it right now to have, you know, ended last year on a high note, started this year well, and then get injured?
Yeah, there's a range of emotions going. We knew something was in there as of last August. We just didn't know kind of where it was at. We believed that it was a small thing that we could push through, and then some symptoms kind of crept back up on me towards the middle of this year, and we got it looked at, decided the best case scenario was probably to go ahead and do surgery, and we went ahead and did it. And for me, it gives me kind of mental clarity of knowing, hey, going into next year, I'm going to be completely healthy, no issues mentally, especially, like nothing holding me back. So for me, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm really frustrated, really sad, disappointed, but it's, you know, if this helps me and helps the Royals later on, good for everybody involved.
Yeah, we'll do a couple baseball things here at the end. Obviously, Jets start camp 6 days from today. I know you're on Chris Rose's show talking about a little bit of Hard Knocks. Didn't touch on it too much in the earlier episode. I know you talked about it a little bit yesterday, but what are your thoughts on Hard Knocks? Are you excited for it? I know you kind of mentioned, you know, you don't want any more distractions for this team. Are you excited for it now that Quinnen Williams deal? That's one distraction out the window.
Yeah, that definitely helps. So then you don't have to deal with that on TV. It's one of those things where I'm excited about it in terms of more Jet stuff to watch. So like, that's cool. But on the other end, it's like, hey, especially because of all the reports saying that they didn't want it. That's kind of where, if they don't want it, I don't want it. So that's kind of where I'm at on it. I saw Rodgers did an interview today, maybe yesterday, and said that they forced it down their throats, but it's no big deal. Like, it's fine. So that's good. But now they're going to really have two documentaries going on with the one Jets drive and Hard Knocks. So that'll be interesting to see if they have different things on each episode.
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting. Obviously the Jets kind of control more of the narrative. I know they get final, they have to sign off on the HBO stuff, but
yeah,
they're obviously going to try to cover some more of the dramatic stuff. You can't just talk about Rodgers positively the whole time, right? Some of these other guys. And I know you talk to some of the players, they're not the most pleased with it. I think at the end of the day, good teams, you know, you're obviously in pro sports as well. If you're on a good team, distractions kind of just are distractions and you get rid of them. When you're on a bad team, the distractions become a huge deal. And
yeah,
that'd be interesting to see how this team has got some veteran leaders now. Do they handle this well? Obviously the Jets last time they were Hard Knocks did a really good job, you know, during the year. I saw a tweet that was actually pretty funny. It basically said like, this is good for the Jets because as many distractions they normally have now, like they're going to be so busy with Hard Knocks, they're going to forget to be the Jets.
Yeah.
And, like, just figure it out. Breece Hall, obviously you're dealing with an injury right now. I've been injured in the past, trying to come back and play. Breece Hall is a guy that, you know, came out, he's going to be ready week one. What are your expectations for Breece week one? Because, or just early on in the year, coming off the ACL, Adrian Peterson's kind of the lone exception of the guy that like actually looked the same the next year. Saquon looked not like himself to year two. Dalvin Cook took a year. Are you expecting big things out of Breece? Are you a little like cautiously optimistic?
I'm not expecting anything. That's kind of where I'm at with him, is just anything he provides is positive, essentially, just because you can't expect the production that he had last year when he was fully healthy coming back from an injury like that. But luckily, they've kind of rebuilt that running back room where it's like, hey, there's some pretty good guys in there where he doesn't have to take the full brunt. And with the, you know, everybody's talking about the potential of Dalvin Cook, like that would ease the load on him. I don't know where we're at on that, but, you know, anytime you can add a great player, that'd be good.
Yeah, no, I think I talked about it a little bit. I know they do have interest. It's just a matter of, are they getting used for leverage for Miami?
Right.
Obviously, Florida guy, you know, Jalen Ramsey's college teammate, the whole thing. That said, they're pushing this Jets thing quite hard. So it's either legit or, you know, we're going to find out pretty quickly here. Was there a move this offseason that, outside of Rodgers, which we'll touch on in a second, was there anything else the Jets this offseason that you felt like, wow, it gave me a lot of confidence that this team is going to take another step? Is there any, like, it could be a small move, big move, draft pick. Is there anything that, like, kind of stood out to you a little bit more other than the Rodgers stuff, obviously?
I thought the Will McDonald pick showed a lot of promise in the wide receiver room, just because Smith and Jigba was there. and I think as fans, we were all like, there he is. Go get him, please.
Yeah.
And then, like, to be honest, I didn't know who Will McDonald was until the draft. I wasn't really paying all that much attention. But then I started diving in on him more, and it was like, dang, they're really loading up that defensive line. And everything that Saleh and Joe Douglas talk about is load up the lines, get the lines going. I know the offensive line probably isn't where they'd like it to be, but the defensive line is kind of looking really scary right now, and that's a really good spot to be in.
Yeah, look, it's definitely a good spot to be in. I think you look at it from a Jets perspective, Will McDonald, everything you've heard about him from camp and from OTAs, you asked him that, you know, John Franklin Myers, like, could not have said any, high praise for him. You hear people that talk to Saleh a little bit and just like, guy's a freak athlete, elite level bend. He's going to need to put some weight on. He's like 220 something, or maybe like low 230s, and like me weighing more than him and you probably weigh more than him, or just about the same. Probably not ideal, but you know, we'll figure that part out. Obviously the elephant in the room is Rodgers, right? What are your expectations? I think there's kind of two schools of thoughts, I think, amongst people around the league, and then Jets fans obviously are, you know, people in the building. Are you getting MVP Rodgers? Are you getting like this Tom Brady, Stafford, all these different guys that go, you know, year one? Or are you getting like, he's going to be pretty good, but, you know, it's more the team's good and he's going to be pretty good. Like, are you expecting MVP level Rodgers? Are you expecting like more like last year, where he's just like a good quarterback?
I think as a Jets fan, I don't care.
Yeah.
whatever he brings is better than what we've seen the past 10 years or so. So, really, if his floor is Tom Brady last year, which is an objectively good quarterback, or if his floor is himself last year, which was a good, not great quarterback, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
If that's where we're if that's bad, then we're in a pretty good spot. So I am interested to see what happens, because the schedule's pretty tough early and then kind of eases up late. And you know how it is with new quarterbacks. It takes time. I don't care about training camp and preseason, whatever. You got to play in real games, and he's probably not even going to play in the preseason anyway. So, like, that Bills game, going into the Cowboys, going into the Patriots, going into the Chiefs, like, I'd be happy with 2-2 of just, hey, we found a way to beat the Patriots, found a way to beat the Cowboys, and then the Bills and Chiefs, hopefully you just play well against two certified teams with a brand-new offense, essentially. And then it's like, can he turn Garrett Wilson into Devontae Adams? Like, that's kind of the biggest question is like, that'd be great. Just go get it. Yeah.
Just figure. Yeah. No, I'm kind of in between. I'm like, can he be 85% of 2020, 2021 Rodgers, which is like, can he be 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 10 picks or so?
Which would pretty much be career Jets record.
I was going to say, it's basically set every single record. Yeah. I think the Fitzpatrick has whatever, it's like 31. You know, look, Rodgers had his worst statistical year last year, and it had been the second best season or best season in Jets, you know, franchise history from a quarterback. So any play with a broken thumb, I have a hard time believing his ribs weren't broken. You know, he was playing with a, a chest injury that's like that when it's under wraps and you're wearing a flat jacket, usually you've broken ribs.
Yeah.
Or something was off there. The Packers just objectively were not a good football team last year. The Jets obviously punched them in the teeth. The Giants beat them. Like, it was, they were not good. Defensively, like, there's a lot of this. A lot of people are kind of scared of, like, the regression, right? Of, like, oh, the Jets were healthy last year on defense. They play these backup quarterbacks. That's why they were good. Are you nervous about that at all? I'm not, but it seems to be, I've seen a little bit of, like, oh, they're going to take a step back defensively.
I think the thing that scares me the most is how healthy they were last year. Just because, you know, it's football, like, something's going to happen. And it's very rare that you have as healthy of a season as they had last year, especially on the defensive side and playing on that turf. So, like, I just hope they can stay healthy. I'm interested to see what Sauce looks like in year two, just because, like, has anybody ever been that good year one? Like, there's nobody to compare him to in that aspect. So I'm curious to see. And there's been a ton of talk. Like, he's talked, people have talked for him, all rightfully so. So I'm just curious to see how that gets backed up in year two.
Yeah, no, I'm interested as well. Obviously, we'll talk about, does it ever kind of, do you envy a little bit of, like, the NFL kind of Twitter stuff? Like, I feel like baseball, I know it's not the baseball way a little bit, but, like, I'd love to see some, like, high-level chirping on, like, social media. Why don't we get that? Is that just, like...
Well, I think there's so much failure within the game that, yeah. Like, if I go 3 for 10, I'm in a really good spot. That means 7 times somebody's getting me out. So, like, what am I going to talk about?
Yeah.
And I think it's just one of those things where it's such a back and forth game where it's like, I get you, you get me. Whereas football, it's like, he was just like not letting anybody catch the ball.
Yeah. No, it's like, I even think back to like, and it blows up in your face. I feel like in baseball more than pretty much any other sport, where like 2018 playoffs, obviously that's like a historic Red Sox team, but Yankees go win game one. On the road, I mean, they lose game one, they win game two on the road. Best of
then they play the music.
Yeah, Aaron Judge walked out. I love Aaron Judge. I think he's the best non-Otani player in baseball. No offense, and like unbelievable player. Obviously, the captain of the Yankees, all that stuff. Walks out of Fenway with the boombox playing "New York, New York," and they got their they lost by 20 runs the next night, and then they lose again. You know, game four, the Red Sox win the World Series. The Yankees don't get out of
round. Was 2018 his rookie year?
No, it's 2017. He went hit like 1,000 bombs. 2018, he broke the wrist on that. He got hit against the Royals. Got hit, and then he came back. But that was like that Yankee team won, you know, 100 games. He had a home run in the wild card game, and like you're like, all right, this Yankee team, they beat Boston all year, but that was an incredible Red Sox team. And then like they win game two, and just talking way too much, you get humbled quickly. And baseball again, it's like a sport as you mentioned where. You know, you can look really stupid striking out. Like, you can
very quickly. You could be 3 for 3 and then look like an idiot your last at bat. So it's just one of those things where it's like there's just so much back and forth where it's there is talking. Like there is for sure talking, but typically guys keep it at you know in the stadium like directly to each other. Just because it's one of those things where once you put it out, I think a lot of guys are so superstitious in baseball that once you put it out in the world, like you really got to go back it up.
Yeah, and then I think the other thing with baseball, which you see differently than football, like there's a lot of like football seems to be a lot of individual matchups where like, yes, obviously baseball really is a one-on-one sport in a lot of senses, right? Like it's you versus pitcher versus a hitter. But it's usually the trash talk usually comes like teams, like Yankee, Red Sox, Giants, A's, like things like that where historic rivalry, you probably chirping the other team, obviously. Football is like that happens, but I feel like it's a lot more like this receiver hates this, you know, this DB or this, you know, it just doesn't.
Well, and there's so much kind of, it's not necessarily, but there's so much luck in baseball in terms of I could have my best swing of the night and get out. Whereas like in football, like if you lock me up as a DB, I'm not catching the ball. they're not throwing me the ball in that aspect. So, so I think that's kind of what it is it's less like that individual, you know, you're right. It is pitcher versus hitter, but it's also like, okay, yeah, but I just beat the pitcher, but your right fielder just made a great play, so your pitcher still wins.
Yeah, we saw in the All-Star game. We saw that in the first inning the other night.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole threw 2 meatballs. They got hit really hard, and they both were out.
Right.
Like, I'm pissed running back to the dugout. Like, I'm livid if I'm Acuna and these guys. In terms of, from a Jets perspective, you mentioned Garrett Wilson. Is there a guy on the roster for 23 that you're like, I can't wait? Week one, like this is a guy I'm just like circle. We talked a little bit about Breeze, Garrett Wilson, Sauce. Is there anybody else that you're like, I cannot wait to see them in this offense or like on this defense now, like in next year, you know, another year in the system?
Not necessarily one player, but I'm excited to see what the tight end room does as a whole, because I think you have pretty good options there that weren't really used all that much last year. And I'm interested to see how Rodgers, because Rodgers likes tight ends. So I'm curious to see how that gets used this year. So between Uzama and Conklin, and who knows if Ruckert's going to play or not. I hope so, if he's, you know, shown out good enough. But if you got those three, like, hopefully that's a pretty good room where you kind of see they can change the offense a little bit.
Kind of a big picture question. What are your expectations?
Playoffs?
Like
not even host a playoff game or anything. It's just like, let us see a playoff game. We're going to get 2 years of Rodgers max. It looks like, at least maybe an extra third if he still wants to play, but you're now, if he plays 2 years, you're looking at Zach Wilson's contract being up. So you have to make a decision there. So then you have to decide, okay, is Rodgers actually going to help him or not? So like, that's kind of the funny part about all this too, is they're so close, and is it actually going to help? Is it not? Because we could be back at square one in 2 years. So I just want to see some playoffs.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page. I think the bare minimum is the playoffs. Everyone across all these different sports, the NBA, basically 65% of the league makes the playoffs. The MLB, I think it's pretty much half. It's like actually slightly above.
It's a little bit above.
Yeah. Oh, it's 14, yeah. 14 out of 30 make it. So basically half the league makes it.
Yeah.
In the NFL, you know, now right on, like, same with baseball, it's right under half the league makes. Like, the Jets should not have missed the playoffs last year. We all know that. We talked, I mean, you've talked about it a million times. That said, they did. And like, they have the longest, you know, the Mariners broke their drought. You got to make the playoffs.
You got to do it. You have to.
Yeah, you don't.
Especially with first round pick. Especially with how the schedule opens up at the end of the year, where it's like, if you could just get to a decent spot going into Falcons, Browns,
Texans,
and then finish off
Washington. It's not a good schedule. They play some of the worst teams in the league.
It's right at the end too. So it's like, in my mind, it's perfect for, you know, not hopefully, but you start a little slow and you just get better as the season goes on. So I'm not expecting them to be bad at the beginning, but it's just a tough schedule at the beginning compared to it opening up at the end.
Obviously, we kind of flirted with the idea last year of, like, you know, Jets going to Arrowhead for a playoff game. They get to play the Chiefs. Is that game like the game you're probably most looking forward to, just from a, you know, kind of, you know, being in Kansas City and stuff like that? Yeah. Or is there another game you have circled?
So, yeah, I mean, that's – I think Bills, September 11th, is a big one, just because it's the Bills. It's September 11th. It's New York. So, it's, you know, just a big date in general. And it's the debut, and it's a primetime Jets game. So, like, that's the crazy part about this year, is how many primetime games there are. But, yeah, I think the Chiefs game for sure. We're trying to figure something out. So, that's our last game of the season. Maybe the Yankees will just let me on their team playing afterwards, and I can just head up to New York and go straight to the game. But I think what we're going to do is set up some sort of watch party at a restaurant here in Kansas City, where we have Kansas City fans come out. I'll be there in all my green and everything, and we'll watch the game. But yeah, that's probably the one I'm most looking forward to. The Black Friday game will be cool. I'm not really sure what that's going to look like yet, but if they don't wear their all blacks, so I'm going to freak out. I think have to, like, you don't really have a choice there. But yeah, they're definitely that Chiefs game.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for that one as well. I think find a way to win at least one, if not two, of Chiefs, Cowboys, Bills. If you can find a way to go 2-1 there, you feel unbelievable, because the Denver game, I don't think Denver's very good, but going to Denver has obviously been a house of horrors for the Jets for a long time.
Yeah, why do we go to Denver every single year?
It's because they keep finishing in the same spot in the division, and then that's sick as joke. They got, like, in the way the division split, this year they ended up back, and it's just so annoying. They keep playing the same teams. The Chiefs traveling early on in the year, you're hoping maybe it's a Super Bowl hangover. We've never gotten Rodgers Mahomes every single time someone's hurt. Hopefully we get it this year. I just, like, as much as I know people are going to, like, you know, as much as Mahomes were not playing, obviously it'd affect the game. I'd like just to see Rodgers Mahomes one time. Like, I'd like to be able to see it.
Well, that's just like the, you know, it's the Jets, but when was the last time you got a star-studded matchup on a Sunday night game that the Jets are involved in?
They haven't played on Sunday Night Football since it was Romo Sanchez in 2011. Couple quick non, you know, Jets, or we kind of touched on a little bit of baseball stuff. Are you fascinated with, and we kind of joked at the Ohtani contract, are you fascinated with how this is going to play out, just from like how it could change the market, how it can affect kind of the sport as a whole. Just like he's this polarizing, he's not really polarizing. He's really, I mean, he's obviously well-liked, but you've got, he's an international star who's the, you know, the most, we've never seen really something like this since obviously Babe Ruth and stuff like that.
So there's a few different things. So I've seen him in Japan live. So I played against him in the Tokyo Dome this year in the World Baseball Classic. That was like, dude, when he walked out of the dugout for warmups, I mean, first off, his face is everywhere in Japan. So there's like a mattress company with a truck and his face is just on it. We're driving by it. There's a, like, there's so many different things at play here with him. So first off, he's changing the game as we know it with the way rosters are constructed and how they have to do it. Having a guy who can pitch and hit at the level that he is, which that will probably never happen ever again, just because it's so ridiculous. But like, you can now have an extra pitcher on your roster because you have him as both. So then now that guy becomes extra valuable. Whereas like this year in the MLB draft, 6 two-way players were taken. That's never happened before. So he's changing the game. If you're a team, even if you're a low market team, why wouldn't you even just dip your toe in the water of this because of what he brings? Like when he's pitching and it's on TV, notice the ads that are behind home plate. They're Japanese ads. So like what he's doing almost more off the field is just ridiculous. And it's not even going to really set a market for anybody else because this is going to be so different than any other contract we've ever seen. Because you're essentially getting two players in one. And you're getting two elite players with one guy. So it's, you know, it's just crazy. And yeah, I'm really excited to watch it because he's making baseball somewhat relevant because he's like people know who Shohei Ohtani is. And there's been years where if you see random people on the street, they wouldn't know any baseball player. So he's kind of changing the game in that regard.
Yeah. Look, I don't know if he'll end up in New York. I know, understand that like obviously the Yankees and Seattle and these other teams are really interested in him. When he came over, there was the whole West Coast thing. I know he lives in Seattle part-time and all this stuff. I'm really intrigued with how the Yankees and Mets thing plays out. You either get Judge and Ohtani in the same city on different teams. It's little brother that has the guy that's like this unique player, you know, and the Mets obviously have the highest payroll in the history of American sports. And then you get the Yankees, like if the Yankees have a lineup of Ohtani, Stanton, and Judge, it's three MVPs back-to-back all in their prime, which is just outrageous. I just think it would be interesting if he's in a big market, how it works. He's obviously in LA now, but they're not the Dodgers. Does he stay on the West Coast? You know, there's, you know, Jeff Passan and Buster only reported the Rays and the Rangers are teams that would be interested in him. So like how this is going to work is going to be insane. You're obviously, you know, you have teammates with the guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer, you know, whenever he decides to hang up the cleats. Greinke's a really interesting dude that kind of just like played a lot of different spots and played in big markets, small markets. What's it like playing with a guy dated on a daily basis that's, you know, one of the best pitchers of his generation and kind of homegrown guy, came back home after, you know, kind of winning Cy Youngs and stuff else. Obviously a Royals legend. What's it kind of like to share the clubhouse with him? Like, has it helped you at all kind of early on in your career?
Yeah, it's been crazy. First off, to anybody watching this, my power went off. That's why I'm now in a different spot and it's darker. It's storming really bad and can't see right now. So that's why it looks different. Yeah, playing with him has been crazy. A guy you watch growing up a ton, you hear all these stories about and then being able to share a clubhouse with. He's great. He's been a great mentor to me. I know a lot of other guys too. So being able to watch him do his thing is just incredible.
Yeah. Is it, who was like for you kind of growing up? Was there guys that you kind of idolized? Obviously, you know, we're pretty similar in age. You're a little younger than I am, but I have to imagine, you know, playing first base, lefty, like, was it like the Mark Teixeiras of the world? Was it like Giambi? Like, who were you idolizing when you were kind of growing up? Was it Jeter? Because kind of growing up in the Northeast and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Yankees. So Teixeira was definitely one. Jeter's definitely one. Like, if you ever watch me play, I always try to get out to the field first. Like, not necessarily to be first, but he always talked about how he always wanted to make sure he was ready. So he immediately got out to the field, never took his time. As soon as the inning was over, like it's time to go play defense. So for me, like that's something I always think about when I'm playing. So yeah, a lot of Yankees just, I really looked up to just because of, you know, watching all their games all the time, just being a fan. Yeah. There were so many guys.
Is there anybody else? And then we'll kind of just do a couple of fun food questions and one WBC question, but obviously playing in the WBC, I'm a diehard soccer fan. The World Cup's obviously, I know the WBC is not yet the World Cup, but I felt like this year we hadn't had it in a little while. It was awesome, I guess, whatever, 6 or 7 years ago. Obviously, COVID kind of ruined it. What was it like playing in the WBC? You kind of mentioned, obviously, the experience playing in Japan, you know, against Itali and those guys, but also just being able to like, represent your country, kind of start to build this thing a little bit. I feel like it's something that's good for baseball because it kind of like you have to rally around it. It's a very, it is a very global game more so than most sports.
Yeah, it was one of the coolest things I've ever done in my career. So yeah, I played for Team Italy. And I think a few things that really helped were some of the matchups that ended up happening. So Japan winning it all obviously helped a ton because I think when we played Japan in Japan, it was something like 70% of households were watching the game. And then when they played in the final against the USA, it was like nine, it was something crazy, like 90% of households in Japan were watching the game. So like seeing baseball in Japan has kind of opened my eyes to how global the game actually is, because like it was just incredible how much people cared all over the world. Taiwan was incredible as well. And I think this was kind of the first year where they did a really nice job of marketing the Classic. And it wasn't just MLB marketing it. It was Fox who had the rights for it. It was, you know, it was just global this year. So it was awesome. I'm really excited for 2026 to get back after it, because it was one of the coolest things I've ever done. And you're right. It was very similar to the World Cup and the fact that people came together to watch the sport from all over the place. So it was really, really cool.
Plus, I think getting Otani Trout game on the line, final.
Yeah. They couldn't have.
Yeah. You couldn't have scripted that. No. And obviously, Trout's not going to pitch for Otani. So, like, getting that, I was definitely rooting for Trout to take Otani deep. I'm not going to try to hide that. I love my Trout. And, like, I was rooting for USA. I definitely wasn't rooting for Japan. So, like, yeah. But it's honestly probably better for the game almost that, that Otani did strike him out like that. Like you mentioned, just his like, presence kind of grew. Trout's won a bunch of MVPs. We kind of know who he is. I think people kind of learned a little bit more about Otani again, which is crazy to say, but they did. Speaking of Italy and all that different type of stuff, I know everyone always probably asks you about some food questions. Is there a spot? Are you a bagels, pizza? Like, is there a Northeast thing when you're home, you know, going to Jets games and stuff? Is like you're looking forward to that you don't get in Kansas City? Obviously, you get the barbecue in Kansas City, but I can't imagine the bagels, pizza, pasta is the same.
The pork roll, egg, and cheese is what I get most excited for in Jersey and Hoboken. So that's where I always go. I got a few buddies that live up there. I'll stay with them, and we go get pork roll every morning when I'm up there. I think the bagels are my favorite part about being in New Jersey, New York, just because I don't know, they're just better. They just hit different in New York.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if everyone says it's the water. I don't know what it is, but it does not taste. It tastes crazy. You know, when you're there. Is there a favorite? Are you like, what's your go-to, like either home cooked, your parents doing it, you're out to dinner. What's your go-to Italian meal? Are you a pasta, chicken parm, like a seafood guy?
Lasagna is my favorite. But my dad makes this meat sauce with spaghetti. That's just incredible. Like it's family passed down meat sauce. And it's just unbelievable. Like I don't like chopped up tomatoes. So he just like makes the sauce with tomato paste. So there's no potato or no tomatoes in it, which is way better. Got some beef in there. So yeah, the sauce with some spaghetti is my favorite.
Yeah, me too. My mom used to make she did the same thing. None of my brothers really like tomatoes, so we just made tomato paste, like so much meat and like ground beef and like like combine it up, and it just basically ended up coming out of like just meat with like a little bit of sauce and pasta and like 6 pounds of Parmesan cheese. Is there one, we'll finish with this. Is there any like NFL hot take? Not even have to be a hot take, more of just like, I feel really strongly this is going to happen. Doesn't have to be Jets related, but like, are you, you know, this guy's going to win MVP, or like, this guy's going to be unreal this year. This team is going to be good or bad. Like, do you have any take to kind of sign off with for the people?
I don't think the Bills are going to make the playoffs. I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but I think something's going on in Buffalo. And I think, you know, I just don't think what's going on right there is good. So I don't think they make the playoffs this year.
All right. Well, we'll definitely take that. I don't know what's – something's off, and I feel like they might have missed their window. I feel like this is year four, almost year five of the same kind of team, generally speaking. Coaching staff's been there a while now. Like sometimes when you miss your window, you miss it. And then, yeah. I don't know, they made a huge deal out of the Diggs thing and nobody else was doing that. They just did that on their own. So I'm not sure why
Yeah, this is happening, guys. You want to report on it?
Yeah, it made no sense. So I appreciate you taking some time. We obviously hope you heal up, and you know, we'll looking forward to seeing you at some Jets games this year, and you know, obviously good luck to the Royals the rest of the year. But appreciate you taking some time amidst the storm and everything at that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.